Welcome to the How to Be a Minimalist podcast. My name is Katie and I'm your host. Want to learn more about all things how to be a minimalist? Check the links in the details of this episode. You can find out how to become a patron, check out my YouTube channel, and learn more about my books. Thanks so much for listening. This is episode number 97, Minimalism and Internal Self-Improvement. Hey there, minimalists. It is a bright and sunny, beautiful day today. We were just talking about the fall equinox in our homeschool session today. While I know fall is here and this is the last bit of sunshine that we're going to be getting in such nice warmth for a while, it is really nice and we're trying to soak that up. Also, I cannot believe that we are getting close to being done with September. It's pretty wild. I cannot believe how fast time goes. For my personal update, and on the same line of homeschooling, I will tell you that homeschooling is a huge benefit to the parent. I learn so much along with my children, and I feel honestly that that's the way that it ought to be for many things. It's absolutely okay. It's great to model learning. It's also great to model humility in learning. Like, there are things that my kids will ask me about, and I will tell them point blank, you know, I'm not sure, but let's figure that out together. But I feel like it's something that is not really rewarded in at least the U.S. culture. I feel like it is an opportunity for mockery or different things like that. And it's hard. It's hard to open yourself up and admit that you don't know something. We are back to learning Spanish together, which is awesome. I have been putting together lessons for that. My husband is helping, which is awesome. And also we are taking some Skillshare classes together, which is wonderful. I love Skillshare. I had a free trial of it recently. If there's a referral link, I will definitely add that down to the details of this podcast episode. I actually paid for this year-long subscription because I felt like it would be an excellent asset to my homeschool curriculum. I always purchase something like that each year, some kind of a membership, and Skillshare seemed like it was a really good option. We are taking an animation class right now, and I'm really excited about it. My daughter was perusing the other day, and she found a coding class she wanted to take, and it's just really fun. Also, I don't even know if I have a referral link, honestly. I'm just telling you, there's a lot on there, and those free trials are a great opportunity to check out what you could be learning. I actually downloaded Procreate, the drawing app, and I cannot believe that I was not using it before. I had this other app that I paid for that was really great, but Procreate is amazing, and it's just, oh, it's so touch sensitive to my Apple Pencil. It makes me really happy. It would have made my life a lot easier before. So that's something that I've been learning and getting back to. I also took a lot of personal time last week, which was nice. I was able to sort things out, get some stuff taken care of, and also have that time that's just really special to me and was a goal for me to take some time to myself. I have been spending a lot of time diving into the internal lately, and I think that that's reflective in my podcast episodes in a way. I have also just been thinking about a lot of things and not necessarily ready to share them. And quite frankly, I am figuring out so much about myself still that I really didn't want to talk about things. I didn't feel like I had any real tips to share necessarily. I feel like I finally had some breakthroughs, and I did have some help with some of that. I've been doing a lot of deep work, which is great. After having that breakthrough and really thinking about minimalism, though, I felt like I was ready to share some of the things that I have been working on. First off, I have to say that one of the reasons why I have been thinking about this a lot and wanted to talk about it is the fact that we talk so much about physical possessions, and there are a lot of episodes where I talk about the emotional side of things, but we have a lot of mental clutter. Most people I know have a ton of mental clutter, and because you can't see it, it's really hard to determine whether it's there or not. I personally came to a place in the springtime where I realized that this mental clutter that I had was causing me a lot of different issues. It was hindering me and creating a lot of problems that seemed very much insurmountable. I began to do a lot of deep work. I was listening to books. I talked to a mentor a whole bunch, and there were a lot of things that I did in order to kind of break down some of this stuff. And also, it's been months of thinking about things, journaling, writing down different things, practicing, doing mental exercises. It's been a process for sure. It took me a long time to recognize the mental clutter that was giving me problems, but it also took me a lot of time to begin to get rid of some of that. And I feel like I'm in the beginning-ish to mid stages of that, where these things that I'm practicing are really effective, but it's really only because I understand what the problem is and how to get rid of it. I talk about ridding or minimizing possessions and relationships, activities, and things like that that have a lot of negative value. But the truth is, we each have things within ourselves that are keeping us from becoming the people that we'd really like to be. As I've thought about this, it makes me question, what kind of person do I want to be? This is something that I've been considering since the springtime. It's something I generally consider anyway, but this is something that has really stopped me in my tracks when I've encountered a problem and wondered how to proceed. Most of the time, this is the very first and very grounding question. Who do I want to be? How do I want to react to this? These are questions that have helped me to kind of move forward. I've also been asking myself, what qualities do I want to nurture that have a lot of positive value? This is something that's also been really important to me as I have considered how I want to move forward and how I want to overcome some of this emotional and mental clutter that I've been dealing with. I think that these two questions go hand in hand very well. What kind of a person do I want to be, and what qualities do I want to nurture? Because it will kind of help to balance out the danger that there can be of not living authentically. I really want to be the person that I want to be. I don't want to behave outside of that. I want my thoughts to follow and be in alignment with the person that I want to be. And I feel like as I take action and do things in the way that I believe I would like to be, I will be not only living authentically, but also being the person that I want to be. Maybe it doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's some of the stuff that I've been thinking about a lot and trying to figure out, because we can all change. We can all become. We are changing and becoming every day, whether we want to or not. If you just think about the person that you were 5 or 10 years ago, you're an absolutely different person. Some other things that have driven me and helped me to figure out, who do I want to really be? What are the behaviors and characteristics that I really want to nurture? As I've considered these things, I've realized that I don't want to be a doormat, and that is where I need to make sure that I'm living authentically. But also, I want to be present in the lives of my loved ones, and if I act like a jerk all the time, nobody's going to want to hang around me. I would say that one of the first things I have been working on is something that I've been considering for a long time. I will tell you that I don't feel like I am the best communicator in my personal life. I can linger on divisive issues, and maybe that sounds funny because of the way that I podcast, but it's true. I want to be very open here. I am not great at that sometimes. I can even take a very simple issue and turn it on all sides, and I've always done that since I was a kid. I think I was taught to do that as a child, or that's just the way that my brain developed. I will take anything and look at it from all sides, and some of those sides are darker and or deeper, and that is just the way my brain works. It is not necessarily good for myself to linger on these things. These are the kinds of things that I can tend to ruminate on, whether they're issues that are out in the world or perhaps something that has happened in my personal life. Maybe somebody was rude to me and that is the thing that I think about. It is not healthy. It's something that I've been working on for a really long time. If I wouldn't want that person to physically walk into my door, then why would I invite them into my head and keep them in my house by keeping them in my mind? So I do not want this anymore. It is something that I feel really strongly about and something that I have been working on for a long time. There is a difference between figuring out why you feel a certain way and thinking about a circumstance or an occurrence or whatever. There is a difference between figuring it out and sitting there and ruminating. Ruminating is what I get into trouble with personally. It's also not good for relationships. I notice in particular when I'm talking with my husband, when he becomes drained, either because I know him so well because we're best friends, or because he just is really open. I'm not really sure which one, but I can tell when he's done talking about something. And I would say he also has a somewhat low tolerance level for some of that sort of thing. It works well for us and it actually brings good balance to each of us. I think we pull each other in the direction of having a little bit more stamina or cutting it off when it needs to be cut off. The thing is, I love talking with my husband. We go on a walk every day and it's beautiful and it's a great time to talk. If I sit there and rant about something and ruminate outside of my head with him, it's not going to be as great of a walk and there have to be other things that I can talk about. What I've been doing in order to bring some change into my life is that I first change what I'm thinking about. I realized that if I started practicing thinking about other things, I would have more to talk about that was uplifting and full of positive value. So I have been doing my best to either look up interesting articles, or I also tend to think about the hobbies that I'm working on or things like that. And I find myself opening up more about those and willing to share with those that I'm communicating with, whether I'm talking with someone on the phone or talking to my husband. I find myself talking more about that stuff. I used to not share about that because I didn't think anyone would be interested in what I was doing. But what else are we going to talk about? I would love to hear about someone that found a great recipe or was practicing their hobby. I don't care what they're talking about. As long as we're communicating and enjoying each other and I'm learning about that person, it's great. So why would I not tell someone else about what I'm doing in my personal life? It makes sense that that would be a really positive and uplifting way to communicate with others. At the same time, it makes my brain a much healthier place and it keeps my thoughts very healthy and in alignment with the person that I really want to be. I'm definitely not saying don't wrestle with and figure out the issues. Or if someone says something really rude to you, it's okay to think about it and figure it out. And sometimes it's important to talk to your loved ones about those things. I have gotten a lot of great advice simply because I shared those things I was struggling with. I would say avoiding the ranting and ruminating is what has been healthiest for me personally. The second bit of internal self-improvement that I've been working on is self-parenting. I've recently learned more about this technique, and for one reason or another, I think we all need some of this. I definitely struggle with negative self-talk in many forms. I think that kind of goes along with what I was saying about the ruminating, and it's something that I am working on. As I've talked to some family members recently, I realized that there were a lot of things that happened when I was a kid that I just never talked about. I didn't share them with a parent, even basic little things. I think people can benefit from self-parenting, whether they had the most wonderful parents in the world or not. It doesn't necessarily have to do with anything about your parents personally. I think it mostly has to do with retraining your brain and giving yourself what you need that maybe you didn't even know you needed as a kid and didn't ever speak up about. The other day, I caught myself ruminating about someone. It was an encounter that I'd had, and it was frustrating to me, and I often feel undervalued when I am in contact with this person. I have figured out how to limit our interactions, and I feel really peaceful about that, and it's pretty easy, honestly, but I do find that when I am in contact with this person, and I find myself again, inviting in that person that I really would never invite into my home, but they are in my head. So essentially, they are in my home. As I caught myself going in circles around this same conversation, I realized what was happening, and recognition is really important. But I was also able to stop and say, you don't have to feel inferior about this conversation. Your thoughts and your opinions, they matter too. And as soon as I thought that, and I practiced that self-parenting technique and affirmed who I am, what I know, I felt this wave of peace wash over me. And I didn't ruminate about that anymore. The cycle was just broken. As this self-parenting stuff is really new to me, I could not believe how effective it was to stop and talk to myself and parent myself through that situation. It worked amazingly well, and I know it will work in the future as well. I don't want to waste my time on things like that. I have so many great things that I could be spending my time thinking about. I don't need to have that person or situation in my life, especially when it's not healthy. the last internal topic that I really want to talk about would be stress. Stress can make anyone's internal workings totally out of whack. There are so many times when I feel overwhelmed by stress and I wish I could make everything go away and I can't. There are many times when we can't remove all of the stress. I can't think of a time when I've ever been able to remove all of the stress from my life, but there are sometimes things that we can remove. When I find myself really overwhelmed, I think about what are the things that I can do to remove some of this stress from my life. Sometimes that means that I ask my kids to help me out with a chore or something that will just take a little bit off of my plate. Sometimes it means I talk to my husband and express a desire to do something fun as a family or to go on a walk together or have him also help out with things that need to be done. Sometimes it means that I look at the things that I have on my plate and I feel overwhelmed and I just quickly get as much done as I can. That way, I don't have so much that feels like it's overwhelming to me. There are also things in our lives that we can say no to that we often don't. I know for me, I used to have a really big problem with this and I've gotten better at it. Stress impacts our bodies a lot, and I think it's a lot more than we really consider or realize. We're not meant to have adrenaline running through our bodies all the time. It's just not healthy and it puts a lot of stress on our glands and the functions of our body, which means that our whole body ends up basically being under stress. Figuring out what you can say no to or how you can rebalance activities and functions in your family, I think, is a really great way to bring peace of mind and to kind of get your internal balanced again. There's also always meditation, having a quiet moment, going on a walk. A lot of people do yoga. You can stretch. You can just sit and drink a cup of tea. There are a lot of ways that you can say, okay, for 10 minutes, I'm not going to think about this stuff. I am going to let my mind be and rest. I can definitely be an obstinate person when it comes to goals and things like that. But something that I've realized since the springtime is that I needed to change my perspective on myself. I'm really glad that I've come to the conclusion and done the deep work that it's taken in order to find out more about myself and my inner functions and how to believe more in myself and to give myself the hope that I so desire to have, the value that I want. These three things are things that have really changed the way that I live. Some of them are newer than others, but they are all perspective changers, and I feel so much more confident in myself. And not to be cliche, but I feel so much more self-love, and I also feel a lot more peace. My minimalist challenge for you today would be to take 5 minutes to practice one thing that I talked about that really spoke to you. Minimalism is definitely about the external, but it is so much about the internal, and maybe even more so about the internal, because if we don't change our inside and the inner functions of our minds, it's going to be really hard to change our external and to motivate ourselves to get our spaces and our schedules to the way that we want them to be, to include in our lives those people that we most want to spend time with. We need to have that peace. We need to have the clutter-free mind. And I know for me, that's what I've been working on. I've been working on my internal, and life is better for it. I hope that you enjoyed this podcast episode today. Thank you so much for joining me. And remember, it is all about the experiences, not the stuff.